Father, this morning we ask for your blessing upon us again. We're grateful that as a people that you've spoken to us in the past, that you speak to us today, and that you promise to lead us and guide us into the future. Please bless us now, Lord, as we're opening your word and looking at the things that you have for us and that you have for us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today being children's church and the focus over there being an emphasis on what the Lord has for them as children, I thought today we would take a look here at the other end of the spectrum, the Lord's perspective of our growing older. You know, we all have this in common. As I look at you out there, many of you have a good head of gray hair. And for those of you who don't, well, every day you're getting a little more. No, I know. We're not going to pick on Brian. It's in the mustache, though. There's some right in the beard. There you go. Okay. These things were on the mind of David on several occasions. I'd like you to open your Bibles to the 37th Psalm. Psalm 37, and we'll look at verses 20. Start with verse 23. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I'm old. We have to remember that growing old is an unnatural thing. It's something that was never intended for us. It is unnatural. Moment. Okay? All right, thank you. It's always somebody looking after me. I like that. Growing old is unnatural in the sense that we were not created to grow old and then to perish. Humanity was created for an eternal life with our Father, our Heavenly Father. So aging often strikes us as illogical. It's just contrary to our thinking. I was young, now I am old. Many gray-headed people ask, how did this happen? How did it happen so quickly? In my mind, my youth is still part of who I am. It's right there. Being pulled into this condition that was never intended causes some insecurity. Still in the Psalms and still with David. Listen to David's prayer in Psalm chapter 71. Verses 5 through 9. He says to the Lord, "For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone." The Lord hears our anxiousness. He has compassion for our fears and for the ailments that seem to come upon us as the years go by. And so we have that text that was read for us this morning in our scripture reading. Just the first portion of it from Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. The Lord comforts us. He says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived. I have carried you since your birth, even to your old age and gray hairs. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you." The constancy of God is one of the great themes of the Scriptures. He does not change. He is ever watching, and ever caring, and ever compassionate. And he's just not afraid of gray hair. In fact, he is found a way to turn it and use it to the advantage of his kingdom. Open your Bibles now to the Proverbs. We're going to look at two separate Proverbs there. The first one is in Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength, gray hair, the splendor of the old. You know, oftentimes we'll tease our children and say, you know, you see these gray hairs? You gave them to me. But the Lord points to a different source. There in Proverbs, still just turn back a few chapters to chapter 16, verse 31. Where it says, gray hair is a crown of splendor. It is attained by a righteous life. The gray hair of a person who walks with Christ sits on his or her head like a glowing crown. This crown is attained, it says here, by being right with God. Oliver Wendell Holmes once said that men like peaches and pears are sweetest right before the end. But as Christians, we are called to mature faster than our contemporaries. And so that mature sweetness should come to us earlier in life and therefore last longer. I was reading an article this week by an old preacher from the 1800s, a great preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and he was talking about things that are particular to elderly or older Christians. Talking about being a Christian who's been alive on this planet for 80 years. It's easy to talk about how the world has changed over the course of 80 years. For us, that would take us back to 1926. Anyone here who was alive and breathing on this planet in 1926? A couple of you, a couple hands here. Certainly in that period, this world has changed a lot. But what Spurgeon wanted to focus on were the things that have not changed in that period of 80 years. Unchanged, he pointed out, were the sun and the ocean and the rocks. Unchanged is the Word of God and His promises that have been made to us. Unchanged is prayer and praise and communion. We still seek the Lord. And it's still the same Lord that we speak to as we did when we were children. Unchanged is the need for Christian service. It's still pressing today as it was before because the war between good and evil is not yet over. And unchanged is God's strength. God's strength is not diminished. He is ever young. Also, Spurgeon pointed out some of the strengths that older Christians have that younger Christians attain to. And he said he had two things, two of the great strengths of older Christians. The first one was memories. Memories because we remember the many joys that we've had in life. This is a proof that love has been working in our life and through our life. We remember the companions that we've had along the way. And all the things that we've learned from them. We remember days of illness. And we remember the recovery. And how we held on to Christ in those times. We remember days of loss. When we lost friends or loved ones. And the older Christian knows, because of this, what is at stake in the triumph of Christ's kingdom. That the renewal of all things is imperative. If nothing else, to get these people back, to be restored, to be reunited. And the older Christian remembers personal conflicts with temptations, the victories as well as the losses. And they know about the Lord's willingness to help those who seek to be overcomers and the value of perseverance. A second strength of an older, experienced Christian is that of their hope. The hope that resides in a mature Christian still has its foundation in Christ, just as it did as a child when it was their turn to be singing, "Jesus loves me." The reason for their hope, though, is now based on their experience with Christ and with angels and with souls that they've seen turned around for Christ. And an understanding now, as they've matured, an understanding of the fulfilled prophecies of the Scriptures, that we can have confidence in the Scriptures, the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. And the direction of a mature Christian's hope, too, is not the same as the younger Christians. It's not as worldly, I guess, as younger Christians. Not looking for hope or ease or glory here, but their hope is directed more towards heaven. Though the body is weaker, grace is stronger in their life. The body may be less lovely, but the earth is less lovely too, and heaven shines all the brighter. And this leads to a shift in priorities. They're concerned less about the business they have on this earth, and they become more concerned about God's business, heaven's business on this earth. We have a particular duty to Christ as we become the older generation that exists on this planet. Put a couple things here. The first one is to be a witness, to testify to the goodness of God and to His unchangeableness, the unchangeableness of His love. Would you open your Bibles to Hebrews 6? Hebrews 6, verse 17 says, "Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Second duty of mature Christians is to warn our wayward peers. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone." Third duty is to comfort. To comfort others who are battling with temptations and with fears. 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 12 says, "For you know how we dealt with each of you, as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into His kingdom and glory." I can't imagine that there are any of you who are sitting here today who haven't gotten here in part without the aid and the assistance of older Christians who looked after you, who minded you, who spoke to you in times of your great need, and helped get you through that and keep you on the path. It becomes then, later on, our turn to do the same thing for others. A fourth duty, then, is for us to guide the young in faithfulness to Christ. The Scriptures are full of these encouragements of the older generation to help guide and lead and encourage the younger generation. This all brings us down to the Lord's unique perspective in His call to His elder children. Look in Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 13. By the time you get to this point in Joshua chapter 13, the Lord has had Joshua lead the children across the river. There have been many great victories. The children of Israel have begun to spread out, and they have increased greatly in their stature as a nation. We get to chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "When Joshua was old and well advanced in years, the Lord said to him," sit back, relax, "and turn your burdens over to the younger men." Is that what it says? You know, when you look at this book, you have to realize this is just chapter 13. The Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary reckons, by a couple of different sources, including Josephus, that Joshua is about 92 years of age at this point. He doesn't die until chapter 24, where it says when he dies, he's 110 years old. So the Lord comes to Joshua when he's 92, and he says to him, get the glasses again. The Lord said to him, "You are very old, and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over." The message is not, "You're old. You better sit down. You better be still. You better take things easy." No. The message is, "You're old. So hurry up. There's still a lot to do." It is the urgency for the cause of Christ any different today than it was in the days of Joshua? Is it any different when the end of all things is so near? Just when the Lord has got us where He wants us, we are matured, we are experienced, we are knowledgeable in His ways, then we stand up, we take a bow, and we quietly slip away. Wrong. Completely wrong. His call extends to us to our very last breath. "May it be with me when my time comes that I die from an aneurysm, because I'm standing here preaching so hard the little blood vessels in my brain just can't stand it anymore." Now you know. Now you know what the Lord expects of you. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you so very much for the people in our life who've looked after us, who've cared about us, who've nurtured us and helped us along the path. And Father, we recognize that now it's our turn to look after, to mind, to help, to coax, to push, to work. So Lord, we pray for your strength, we pray for your courage, and most of all, we pray for your wisdom and insight to be able to know how to best accomplish the things on this earth that have to be done, so that your Son can come and that we can be delivered and taken home. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.